Welcome to a special edition of Nerd and Tie. This is not a regular episode. This is a thing that we're doing because some news hit that's big. And so we're breaking our schedule like people and doing what people often do. I am, of course, Trey Dorn. And joining me, as always, are the magnificent Gen Proc.
Up.
And the ever mysterious Nikazumi.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? I might, for a price.
And we are meeting here today because listeners of the podcast who were not expecting an episode at all this week.
We're doing this kind
of mini episode because big news hit that we weren't expecting, because somehow for once the universe didn't disappoint us like we expected it to. So for those of you paying attention to how screwy the schedule is for the show right now, this mini episode is happening, and then in a week you're going to still get the secret podcast special, which will temporarily be on the internet, and then the week after that, you'll get our full episode, episode 103, which will include, reactions to San Diego Comic-Con news and crap like that. Mm. It's very excited, but we should introduce the story as to why we, decided to go insane and do an episode today, and that is the BBC has announced who's going to be taking over the role of the Doctor from Peter Capaldi. Yay.
And it's not who any of us expected in the best way possible.
Yeah, no, it's for the first
time. Benedict Cumberbatch. Ah!
No.
No!
Oh.
Every time someone brings up that idea, an angel loses its wings.
No, of course it's not Benedict Cumberbatch. That is, see, people don't really understand how Doctor Who casting works when they name really famous people, and
they don't, because they're trying to think of the one of three British actors they actually know who they are.
Well, it's like you're more likely to get Chris Evans than Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Although I think if British Chris Evans ever played the Doctor, I think the show would just have to have already been canceled at that point. That would be worse than Colin Baker. The big news is, of course, that Jodie Whittaker is the 13th Doctor. And for those of you keeping track, Jodie Whittaker does have two X chromosomes and identifies as a woman, like most people who do.
Oh, noes. You can't have your time-traveling alien hero be a woman's.
Yeah, so first, do we want to talk about the reaction that has happened across the ridiculousness?
I feel like that's really where I feel like that's the most relevant thing to discuss, because
it's really not surprising.
Yeah, okay, so...
Well, Every time a new Doctor is announced, everyone loses their collective mind and thinks the show is going to be ruined. But this is that happening plus sexism.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah. So what's amazing to me is I've actually read a lot of the tweets, and they're just not interesting. They're just the weird one are the Nurse Who ones, because apparently women can't be doctors, which is... I don't know. That one's kind of weird to me, because it's women doctors are a thing, man. This isn't 1901.
As I'd say, this is... how many Americans are making this claim? This might be the best argument of why we need healthcare. Why we, actually need people with good healthcare so they can go in and find out that doctors come in all genders.
But yeah, and speaking of coming in all genders, it's what I find amazing is that like people talking about how it's going to kill Doctor Who and destroy the ratings and all this stuff, but it's all people like talking about how it's this is all, you know, exclusively SJW stuff and it's not supported by the show and like all this stuff. Like clearly people who aren't watching Doctor Who, because if there's anything positive that's been established during the Moffat years of show running, it's that it's been firmly established in proper canon that Time Lords can switch genders on regeneration. We have literally three prior examples in canon before this. The Corsair, who is mentioned in The Doctor's Wife. The General, who we saw last series. In Series 9, I think. I don't want to say last series because Series 10 is sort of just ended, but the Christmas special hasn't happened. I don't know. But the General, who switched genders. And, of course, the friggin' Master.
Yeah, that's...
Michelle Gomez's run as the Master, like, has been... And, you know, I know Moffat made statements about the Doctor never being a woman, but he didn't choose this Doctor anyways, so, you know... But he, but Moffat didn't.
Stephen Moffat's opinion is going to not matter at all soon.
Well, no, but the interesting thing is that Stephen Moffat clearly, did the most in canon to establish that this was possible. Like, he may not have ever had any intention of making the Doctor a woman, but himself, but he was at least willing to update the canon to say it was a possibility for future writers. Which then the next future writer immediately did. So
and rules of Time Lorddom have been kind of made up on the fly since the beginning anyway.
Right, because originally he was just supposed to be an old guy, not even an alien.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why, like, if you're gonna try to come at me with the Doctor can't be a woman, I'm like, man, he just hadn't been a woman yet.
There is literally not there, like, in addition to all the evidence that it could happen, established within the show, there's literally no point where that has ever said it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, Doctor Who is very contradictory in its rules sometimes, but there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's not even a hint. Neil Kaplan, who plays Zarkon in the Voltron remake, actually challenged people online, saying, "Hey, name me the episode of Doctor Who where it says that this can't happen, and maybe I'll listen to you."
Yeah. You know, it's now let's talk about the actual casting a little bit.
Of course.
Some people have, like, been a little weirded out by the... So the teaser shows the Doctor walking through the forest from behind and then pulls the hood down. Some people have been confused by this, apparently, that it's just Peter Capaldi's outfit. This is not the outfit we're going to see her in during the show.
Oh, yeah. You never reveal the Doctor costume this early in the game.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, so it's... This is...
God, if anything, I'm disappointed that Capaldi's costume was... I'm honestly disappointed any time the costume is leaked before the episode proper airs, because I would rather just have the surprise at the end of their first episode.
Yeah.
Because they never have the new outfit together till like, near the end of their first story.
Yeah, the only one who did was 9, because we don't see his regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until... until the 50th anniversary special. So Jodie Whittaker, so Chris Chibnall, who's taking over the show, who obviously was in charge of this casting, and he's previously written episodes of Doctor Who, even if they were dinosaurs on a spaceship, and
ironically, one that I don't mind.
Well, I like it too. It's, and, you know.
It's not actually an episode that bothers me.
Well, to be fair, it's because it delivers everything it promises.
And that episode was from the really uneven half of Series 7.
Yeah,
so
that's from the
yeah.
part of Series 7 where we're like, oh my god, what, like, even those of us who like the Ponds were like, oh, just go already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was rough. But, So Jodie Whittaker has got some pretty good chops. She's previously she was on Broadchurch, which is Chris Chibnall's, that was his big show starring David Tennant, and also the first season had the actor who played Rory on.
yeah.
Speaking
our
of the Ponds,
in that show.
Yeah. So she's got, but she was also in Attack the Block with John Boyega.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done a bunch of other stuff. I'm not super familiar with her because I haven't gotten around to watching Broadchurch yet.
It's really good.
Well, I know, like, all the actors in it I've seen in other things and really like them. And I watched the American remake of the first season and enjoyed that. So I'm like,
well, I was about to say, which is also very good.
Yeah, I mean, because it from everything I've been told, they just straight remade it.
Yeah, basically.
And I mean, since they also then just straight brought over David Tennant to play the part again, like,
I probably should have known that I had seen a sign that Broadchurch was going to factor into this more than just with Chibnall's involvement, and that was not long ago. My Netflix queue told me if you liked the IT Crowd, you should watch Broadchurch.
Well, the funny thing is
and
that
I looked at my TV and I said, yes, TV, if I liked an office comedy show, I'm definitely going to enjoy David Tennant crying in the room of a murdered little boy.
Well, the funny thing is
it's
that
like the same show.
The funny thing is that when people were trying to judge the favorites, the big favorite for being the first woman doctor was not Jodie Whittaker, but was Olivia Colman, who is also on Broadchurch.
Mm-hmm.
She was big, and I think Olivia Colman, like, if you've ever seen Green Wing, she's like, her comedy chops are just out of the park. Like, she's a phenomenal actress.
I think Whittaker looks really heroic, though.
Well, no,
like,
it's
like I, what I like. The one, I mean, I know we can't be judging her status as the Doctor yet from the not even actual clip of her, but I love, just, she has a very heroic profile, and I like that.
Oh, no, it's, I am completely on board with this. It's, like, it's, I'm, I think she looks cool. It's, I mean, we don't know what her outfit's going to look like, but I...
Waiting with bated breath.
I really want it to be, like, a Fifth Doctor style, like, that's, in my heart of hearts, that's what I want. Something akin to the Fifth Doctor. But that's just me. Like, she doesn't have to wear the celery. But,
I'm really excited.
Because she's young enough to do the running, jumping doctor stuff. You know, it's, she's I think 35.
I also patiently await Character Options, the British toy company, doing the right thing and announcing a proper 6-inch action figure too. Not that I'm going to get OCD and really bothered if I don't have all of the doctors represented on my shelf, but I will. So, I hope they do that.
She was born in 1982. She's born the same year as my brother. She's 35 right now. Which is 35, which makes her younger than most doctors, but she's older than Matt Smith was when he played the part, and he was super young.
Yeah, he was. I'm older than Matt Smith was when he started that part.
Yeah, although, you know what? Matt Smith, I think, was actually perfectly fine in the role because he played him older. Like,
Now, Matt Smith was fine. I've never ripped on Matt Smith's performance on his own. That's not the problem.
It was always the writing was the problem. I'm excited. I think she's a solid actress. I think she's a solid choice. I think the people who are claiming it's PC or whatever can just go, like, crawl back into the holes that they're in because they're clearly not watching Doctor Who already.
I would say, if they're actually making those complaints, then they don't understand the show in the first place.
Yeah. Again, what are your thoughts? Since we dragged you onto the microphone.
Well, what I think is really cool with just the reaction I'm seeing is I'm actually seeing a lot of people saying, like, oh, man, I fell off the bandwagon a long time ago, but this might make me come back.
Yeah.
And I think that is phenomenal. I think that's really cool. This is probably going to get a lot of people back onto the bandwagon.
Most of my friends who stopped watching Doctor Who were women who just didn't feel like what Stephen Moffat was writing was offering them anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, yeah, that. This could be good for the show as far as ratings go.
Well, yeah, I know ratings have been flagging in the last few years. And it totally took that year off just because of the Olympics. And
that was a stupid idea. We said that on the show before, but that was a stupid idea.
Oh, I think it was an idea of trying to get people to want to miss the show. I don't think it's a good. I don't think it was a good idea, but I think that was their bizarre. Like, the only other time Doctor Who had been taken off the air in the new series was just because they wanted to hold on to David Tennant for a little while longer. You know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
And that made sense to me because he was incredibly popular in the part, and, like, you know, they just
and it gave us a half season of fun specials. So
yeah, well, it gave us like a quarter season of fun specials and then a quarter season of other things that happened.
True.
I'm sorry, I can't get behind Waters of Mars no matter how much I want to. I just can't get into that episode.
You're the only person I know who doesn't like that episode.
I like it. It's just, I don't love it. Like, I like the ending. Like, I like the message at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the Doctor so much throughout the episode, and I want to like the Doctor.
I don't think you're supposed to like him in that episode.
That's why I don't like the episode. Well, it's just, you know what it is? Because it's like, I'm not going to say it's not good. I don't enjoy it.
That's
like,
fair.
Like, I don't enjoy going back. And then, oh God, what's the one with the bionic woman in it? And I say that as in the actress who played...
Oh, Planet of the Dead.
Planet of the Dead. That one had, like, good actors and good moments, but a really forgettable plot.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that one more because I liked the characters, but I remember more about the personality of the characters than I do like the events of the episode of the special. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I also freely admit that I have a very soft spot for the David Tennant special season, if that's what we want to call it.
Yeah.
Because when they aired / when I was watching them was a very trying time in my life. And the Doctor Who specials were one of the only things that kept me going.
Okay.
Like, I rewatched the next Doctor more times than
I love the next Doctor.
And I hate when people list it as one of the worst episodes of the new series.
Oh, I love that episode.
That episode literally saved my life. I'm not using hyperbole. I was in my worst spot of my adult life, and that episode saved my life.
I just thought it was really fun. I don't have a life-saving story. I just really enjoyed that episode because
it's fun.
It's super fun.
Ridiculousness of the Cybermen, and the guy from Nanny McPhee is in it. And yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I love the Next Doctor. I think that one's great. And you know, the two-parter at the end there.
I rewatched The End of Time.
Yeah.
I was gonna say not that long ago, but I guess now it is that long ago, and I feel, if anything, that one has aged better than a lot of people give it credit for. And
yeah.
I think it's pretty powerful.
Like, I will say that I didn't necessarily need them to do the little montage at the end where he put a bow on everything.
Yeah.
Mostly that I think the Mickey Martha ending is a little out of nowhere.
That was stupid. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Generally, the last Peter Capaldi's big... my request to Peter Capaldi's ending is that it not be the drawn-out, I have to do homages to everything I did before this point that the last two have done.
Have you seen the most recent series?
I have not. I have not at all. I haven't actually finished Series 9 yet.
Okay, do you know who...
Speaking of falling off the wagon,
okay.
I own Series 9 and I haven't watched all of it yet.
Oh, it ends strongly. It ends strongly, I will say that. And Series 10 is really good. But... I'm not going to spoil it. Do you know who the quote-unquote companion is in the Christmas special that's coming up?
Yeah, I saw the promotional images, and I was gastroflabbed. He looks better than the bloke they got for Three Doctors.
Well, he's the actor
doctors.
Who played Hartnell in An Adventure in Space and Time.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's the same actor who played Hartnell in that, so that's why he's already like, if you have someone who does a perfect William Hartnell impersonation, and all the wardrobe for him...
Now, Doctor Who, just come up with an excuse for the Third Doctor to appear, because Sean Pertwee is alive, and he looks uncannily like his dad.
Although he doesn't sound like him.
We can work around that.
So, yeah, they might be drawn out.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay, well, we'll see how it works.
Yeah, it's... I don't want to say... Like, I could tell you more, but I don't want to spoil anything. But you know he's going to regenerate in the special, so, you know.
Right.
I don't think
that,
it's...
That's become something of an event. The little... David Tennant's, like, little round trip across the galaxy before he went... I will agree that came off as kind of self-indulgent.
But it did give us the opportunity to then have him show up in the 50th, because I think
true.
Isn't that where that takes place in his timeline?
I thought it was a bit earlier than that. I thought that was like
The pre-Donna maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, post-Martha, pre-Donna.
I think so.
Or was
it
supposed to take place post-Donna specials era? Like, pre the end of time.
It has to be pre-Martha. Because the queen
It happens post-Martha because he's confused by why the queen wants to kill him.
Right, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It has to be post-Martha. Anyway, so Jodie Whittaker.
I'm looking forward to what she has to offer. Can't wait for her. Can't wait to see what Chris Chibnall brings to the writer's room.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that we should be worrying about for the future of Doctor Who is how Chibnall's going to work out, because we all thought we were all going to be set with Stephen Moffat. You know, he wrote some of the best episodes under Russell T. Davies, and Coupling is a masterpiece, and somehow none of us remembered how bad Jekyll was. So...
How about you, again, you're not, I know you're not a super hardcore Doctor Who fan. Do you think you might, since when a new writer comes in, they tend to soft reboot things anyway, do you think you might jump on the ship now?
Maybe. I mean, it would be, it'd be a lot of work, but it would be nice to just, like, try to get through the backlog, because I first jumped on, with Eccleston.
Mm-hmm.
Back when
good times.
He first showed up.
Yeah, 2005. That's a really good season to start with.
Well, it's
it's a good season, period.
Oh, well.
My dad heard that the new season was coming, and he watched it as a kid.
Yeah.
Baker is his doctor.
Tom Baker's my first doctor, also. I was a small child.
And so he was like, Girls, you should, like, stay up late with me on this Saturday night and come watch this. I want you to watch this with me.
Oh, back when it was airing on Sci-Fi Channel.
For us, it was PBS because we didn't have cable.
Oh, so, like, oh, my God. So you watched that Eccleston season, like, 2 years after it aired.
Yeah.
Wow. So you watched that was, like, 2007 that you would have been watching that.
Probably.
But the fan base wasn't quite as rabid at that point, so it still seemed like a new thing for
We've got the weird thing where, like, I, of course, the instant I found out Doctor Who was coming back, stole it off the internet immediately, which is why the version of Rose I watched, actually, like, the version that I had, like, watched for a really long time was always the version with, like, the audio error. And when they aired that first episode of series nine on BBC, they had a weird studio error where they accidentally cut in, like, audio from another program during one of the, like, key chase scenes with the Autons. And
oh,
it's just
dear.
This really awkward moment. But that was the version I had downloaded because I admit I pirated it over a decade ago. Y'all can get mad at me later. But so the process when those episodes came out is that I would pirate them, then I literally would burn DVDs for my parents, who are massive Doctor Who fans. And so I did that for the first two series, and because the first two series aired, I think the second series was airing when they started airing the first season in the U.S. a year later, and then I stopped after, like, series two because, they actually aired it soon enough, but, like, I did that with Torchwood also for my parents because they were not quite as tech. Like, I would literally download episodes of Doctor Who and Torchwood. I remember downloading the Christmas special. I was at my parents' house and they had dial-up, and I literally spent 3 days downloading an episode of the Christmas special. The first Tenant Christmas special I downloaded over dial-up on a 56K modem at my parents' house because I was home from college. And, like, at college I had, massive high-speed OC3 connection. But
right.
Yeah, no, that was such a weird time. I think the Eccleston... So you've watched the Eccleston seasons again. Have you seen the Tennant seasons?
Not so much because, like, for me, it was really, like, a lot of the shows that I used to watch, like, I used to watch Eccleston, Doctor Who, used to watch Star Trek Original Series, a lot of those things were very much just, like, oh, it's like, with my dad time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I didn't really pursue them so much, like, after I had, like, gone to college.
All right.
At that point, I was really into, like, exploring other avenues.
Yeah.
Of my life, but, like, I could definitely come back to this.
So I'll say that the Russell T. Davies seasons, which are the Eccleston season, that series one, and then the David Tennant seasons, which there are three of, and then there are the specials. Those are all pretty much worth it. There's some hokey moments because, you know, Russell T. Davies is a goofy guy, and if he can make fun of Big Brother, he's gonna. Well, you've seen the Eccleston season.
Yeah.
Yep. It's
That was good.
But tonally, like tonally, it's pretty solid throughout. I will say that for the if you want to try to slog through the Moffat run, the second half of series 7 is decent. Once just skip the ponds.
Well, I just feel just like it'd be something ponds. That Eric and I would put on in the background.
Yeah.
So that like the episodes that like are good, we'll sit down and watch, and the episodes that aren't so good, we'll do other stuff while they play.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll say that like I enjoy those seasons, but Nick hates large swaths of them, and I think all of Nick's reasons are justified. I just still like them.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably wouldn't rewatch them.
Yeah.
But I'll say that the second latter half of series 7 is decent. I like series 8 and I like series 9. And I definitely have series 10 is the best series that Moffat did. Period.
What I watched of series 9 I really liked. I'm looking forward to 10.
I'll
get around to it soon.
I feel like series 9 is I enjoy a lot, but it's still kind of drenched in that constant need to turn everything into a mystery that Moffat has. That's all still like centered around, if not the Doctor, then Clara. Like it's a whole melodrama thing. Series 10 is much more lighthearted, and so I kind of like it more. But
that makes sense. I'm still just jumping for joy at the.
Also, yeah, Series 10 gave us our first multi-master story.
That's what I was going to say. I'm really jazzed just for that multi-master story and my beloved 60s Cybermen.
Then you get all... That's all the same episodes.
I know. I'm super jazzed for it.
Oh, my God. And they're also like... Oh, no. Those are the best episodes of the whole season. That two-parter. Oh, God.
Fantastic.
Yes.
At this point, I don't know if there's really much else to say, really.
Yeah, Jodie Whittaker, yay. We should probably... We filled a half hour.
Goal accomplished.
So it's... thank you guys for tuning in to this mini-podcast version of Nerd and Tie. I am and have always been Trey Doran.
I am Nick Izumi, but I might regenerate into a different actor.
And I am hot on this, catching this bell sprout, Gemprog.
All right, and remember, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere that podcasts are sold. Remember to rate and review us. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/Tregorn. Or you can subscribe to Nick's videos at youtube.com/Nick Izumi. Remember, you can always support the show financially by either sponsoring episodes, which only costs $20, supporting our legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie, or supporting Gen's Got Stores. Search for Ocelot Dude on the interwebs and you'll find him. Nick and I've got Patreons, Patreon/Tregorn or Patreon/Nick Izumi. Yeah, I feel like, remember, you can always email us, send us messages, and we'll read in our contact section at nerdandtie.com/contacts, or dial and leave a voicemail at 414-375-0480. And then, Nick's air catchphrase.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
And that was a special.